kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
A title here. We're going to talk about faith today, and the teaching for this is our self-emptying will mature faith. Our self-emptying will mature faith. I think we're all learning, aren't we, that the Lord is always dealing with these hindrances to our faith. And so often we get in the way of which faith is to flow and move, because we still like to be in control, and we like to be in control mentally, in our minds, trying to work out how God is going to do it, or when is he going to do it. We're trying mentally to understand and assimilate faith. And of course, our minds are needed in which to learn. We need our minds today in which to learn about God's word. But when it comes to our acting our faith and walking by faith, the mind isn't needed. What is needed is faith, belief, trust. And we know for some it's maybe harder than others. We're all overcoming in various areas, but one thing we have learned, haven't we, and are indeed learning with the deeper life, what a tremendous deliverance God is doing with the mind. And he will do it if we let him. And we're going to find that faith doesn't require your thinking, your mind, your logic, trying to work it out. It doesn't need it at all. And this is, of course, why we find it in the flesh difficult. Because we do use our minds, of course we do. We have to use our minds every day, but the wonderful thing about it is that God says he's renewing our minds. And that's the great work of change and deliverance. We've referred it many times to programming a computer, and that the right information goes in, because if it doesn't, then that wrong information will come out periodically. And it's similar to us. But where your faith is concerned in believing and trusting God, the mind can be a hindrance. The logic can be a hindrance. And this, of course, is why faith comes as we hear the word of God. And when we often find we're battling in the mind with regard to our step of faith or our believing or whatever it is, we find often that we come back to the scriptures. Or we confess the word. Why are we doing that? Why are we confessing the word and the promises of God? Because it's trying to deal with your mind, your thinking. And we know the enemy tries to use that. The enemy can get that access and speak to the mind. And so we cast down those thoughts and imaginations and those voices and so on. We're in a battlefield. And so we have the word, we have the promises where we can look at them, we can confess them, because that's dealing with the mind, the logic that's trying to get in the way. And that is the hindrance. This is why the devil attacks. He's not stupid. He knows that if you try and understand faith, or try and understand your step of faith, or whatever it would be, this hinders faith from flowing. That is why he attacks. And wish to God more Christians were awake to this and alert to this. Because if they were, they would deal with this area. And that's why we make much of the word. That's why we come together regular. Because we're told that faith comes by hearing the word. So by hearing this word and reading these promises, this is the sword of the Spirit that will fight against the mind, the hindrances to the mind, and what the devil is saying to the mind. And of course, we know that he's always trying to tell us that God isn't faithful, that God is not going to answer this prayer. He will bring up everything to try and get you to question, to doubt. And we all do it. And we have to discern it. And we have to deal with it. And this is, of course, why we're addressing this evening. So we're calling this "Our Self-Emptying Will Mature Faith." And we know that the pathway to the deeper life is our willingness to accept this self-emptying. We call this the kenosis experience. And I want us again to turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 to 9, because this is so important for your deliverance in your mind, where the enemy tries to hinder our faith and the prayer of faith and so on. So Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 to 9. And it says quite simply here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And as a result of all of that, God now has highly exalted him and given him all authority, might, and dominion at his name, and putting all his enemies under his footstool," and so on. The apostle is dealing here in what he's saying about how we look. Who are we looking to? Are we looking to the world? Are we looking to the arm of the flesh, where it's always a lot easier? He's talking in the context here of about unity and oneness and how we look. Do we look to the Lord? Do we look to one another in love and care? Or are we looking to self? In other words, are we consumed in self? Are we self-centered? Well, of course we are. And that's why God has to challenge this, because this is our problem. We don't even have to work at being self-centered. It just can happen. And so we need to be reminded. We need to have a power working within us and through us that challenges that and continues to get us to look away from that and always looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And the Lord had to do exactly the same. And so we look away, we look to the Lord as we too take up our cross each day and follow him. What is working in all of that is this self-emptying, which we of course call the kenosis experience. You see, in Christ's humanity, he took on, as it says, the form of a bond servant. That is what he chose to take. He says he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. And he could have come in many different ways and forms, but that is how he chose to come. Now, can I suggest to you that he chose to come as a servant, as a slave, because that is how faith will work in those conditions. Faith cannot work if you are self-centered or you're proud, you're arrogant. Faith can never work in those conditions. It can only work when we are humble before God. And in humility, we are before him each day, not trying to work it out or fathom it out or intellectualize it. We are there in humility with bowed knees in his presence, accepting the revelation of faith that he gives to us. And that is the vast difference. As I say so often, it is revealed to us. It is given to us. It is a revelation. Jesus praised his Father that flesh and blood did not reveal those things to his disciples. Why did he praise his Father for that? Because what he lived by and was experiencing, he was now beginning to see that they too were beginning to experience it as well. And this has to be your experience. And your Heavenly Father is going to start to rejoice when you begin to receive what flesh and blood cannot give you. But we still want flesh and blood to reveal it. We still want to go to the arm of the flesh. We still want to listen to man, because we're not willing to pay the price to get before God and to be still before him and allow the Spirit to work. Little wonder why the devil attacks like he does. You know, in many ways, he has more insight to how he can hinder our faith than we have. And we are baptized, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the key is here. And Jesus gives the example to this. So he takes on the form of a bondservant. He's come to serve and not to be served. And that is what faith likes and wants. That is a godly faith we're talking about. We then see in verse 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we are to have the same mind. that heart. And this is achieved by verse 7, which we read. You take on the form of a bondservant. And so what did he empty himself of? We see in verse 6, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with him. So he emptied himself of the form of God, what he was in glory, in eternity. He surrendered that and took on human form and flesh. But he took it on for the purpose to minister, to be that bondservant, that slave, because he knew that that is where faith will work. In other words, that is the clear channel in which faith can flow through. And so the way into the fullness of God is through the kenosis experience, this self-emptying. And faith really needs this. Are you battling in the faith? Are you finding still that you're not seeing what faith should be producing? Are you still aware that what you have heard over the years, I should be producing much more than is seen? The fruit of faith should be seen much more. I say that at times, but I say it in the context because I am the hindrance, I am the problem. And I have to come back to this. It's self that gets in the way. And what is self that gets in the way? Well, Jesus, he dealt with that, didn't he, in the Beatitudes in Matthew. Seek first the kingdom of God, is righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And what does he deal with all of that? He deals with anxiety. He deals with fear. He deals with those things that the self wants to wallow in. When we try and start to work it out, we immediately begin to open the door to confusion, to depression, to anxiety, and all those things that kill faith. Trust me. And the devil is a master. He knows how to do it. He knows how to create that anxiety. Well, if this bill doesn't get paid today, we are in real trouble. Well, there's your problem. You've opened the door to fear, to anxiety. God will pay that bill. God will be faithful. He will find the money, but you have to remember God pays it at his time, when it is right for him. Not right for the creditors, but for him, because he is on the throne. And that is what we battle with. We battle with God's will, how God works. And this is why we're always trying to work it out and when it will happen and how it will happen and so on. And we miss it. We miss it. Because that is what pride will do. That is what an independent spirit of God will do. And we have to come right back to Philippians and look how Jesus walked totally by faith. And he walked totally by faith because it says he emptied himself and he took on the form of a bond servant, a slave. Slaves generally were nobodies. Most people were not that interested in them. They were just there doing their work and so on. Most of them were uneducated, probably couldn't read or write or whatever it would be. But he says, they are the ones that receive the revelation. They're the ones who know how to walk by faith and not by sight. So faith really needs this, doesn't it? You see, for a faith that works, it requires this crucifixion of the self-life. And there's the key to it. Let's just remind ourselves what we mean again by this, through the self-emptying, the cross. It means that your plans, your scheming, go to the cross. All your rights as a citizen go to the cross. Your interests, hobbies, things you like go to the cross. You surrender the lot and you leave it there. And if God so blesses in any of these things, then he will give it to you. He will make sure it is blessed and not you doing it. There's the difference. You see, a faith that will work in these closing days requires a surrender of your throne. And we still battle that. We still find that difficult. I still am going to have my say. I'm going to do it my way. And we're stubborn. We're proud. And then we wonder why it goes wrong. It doesn't work. It doesn't bear the fruit that it should. Because we're failing to allow the life of God to live his life in and through us. There's no unbelief in him. There's no doubt in him. He is the author of faith. So he's the one that wants to work that through us. And the key is that we empty ourselves. And that's why the cross will do that. And the emptying of self is the surrender of all these things that you still look at in this world, or you lust for, or you want, or you feel it's your right to have. Everything, you surrender that. And when you get up in the morning, Lord, I walk with you this day. I don't know what it entails. I don't know what is involved, but I know I walk this day with you by faith and not by sight. And it will flow like water. It will happen like you naturally breathe, that you don't have to work at it or strive at it. You will see faith and the fruit of faith working according to the promises and the word of God. But you know, for faith to work, we have to accept faith's rules. And the same Jesus did. And those rules are that you take on the role of a bondservant, just like Jesus did. You serve. You give. You go that extra mile, because that's what faith will do. It just happens. And this is how our Lord walked. He knew that to walk in that humility, the miracles would happen and work through him. This is why we don't see many miracles today happening in the church as we should. And we've been given the gifts of miracles. We've been given those nine gifts to operate, but we see very little of them operating in Christendom. And do you know why? Because self gets in the way. This is the problem. Why it doesn't always happen. And if you knew that God was going to use you to heal someone, immediately you will start battling in the mind. And the first thing you will start to do, well, when do you think this will be? What day do you think the Lord will use me in which to heal someone? Because I'm not going to be free on one day. So I hope he doesn't call me to minister on that day. Or how will it happen? Will I lay hands on them or simply speak the word? Or will it be the gift of faith that's in operation? Does it all sound familiar, what our mind conjures up and thinks? Of course it does. And we wonder why it doesn't happen. If God speaks to you and says, I'm going to use you, the next thing you need to say to yourself, I refuse to think about it. I refuse to work it out. I don't want to understand. I just move with the Spirit and I say and do whatever he requires. And that is it. Amen. That's all he wants. But we've got to have our list. We've got to have it all worked out and planned. And we wonder why it doesn't happen. And this is why God constantly says to us, have the faith of a child. Children don't think like that. And that is how he wants us. I do not know how our walk of faith is going to work out. I'm finding as I go on more and more with God, I don't want to know. We should be fulfilled and blessed by just being in his presence and walking each day and what it entails. That should just consume our time 24/7. But we want these lives planned, don't we? And they are the hindrances to why faith doesn't work like it does. But you see, if you're taking your cross up each day, then the cross does its work, because the cross isn't going to let you do all of those things. You're hanging on it. And that is the difference. It's so easy, isn't it, to know this teaching theologically. And it's so easy to sit and to convince ourselves, well, praise God, we have the teaching on the cross, we have the teaching of the deeper life and everything, but we still detach ourselves from it, from the living reality of it. Somehow, to start to live that, which is required of me, is completely another thing. And we can deceive ourselves so easily. We can convince ourselves that the cross is working in our lives. And this is why sometimes it's good to examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith, to ask, Lord, is the cross really working as it should be? Nothing wrong to ask those questions sometimes. And the Lord will certainly answer them. He'll show you. He'll show you if faith is working by the trial you go through. Oh, this anxiety, this fear. It's working. I can see it. I'm experiencing it. There you are. He's showing you something. He's saying that has to go. That has to go to the cross. That is hindering your faith from working and glorifying my name. Sometimes it's as easy as that. And that is why we accept the role that Jesus accepted also. You see, your rewards are coming, brothers and sisters, and that is why faith requires this self-emptying. What we're destined for, we can't even really begin to conceive or imagine what is coming. So they're already there and on the way. But the question is, how am I living today? If the Lord tarries, and we have another day tomorrow, which is a gift, how do I walk that day tomorrow and the next day? Am I going to walk it by faith, by the way of the cross? Or is my life going to be just walking and living like the rest of the world does? We have to answer these questions, and we have to be honest before God. What does it say in Matthew 20, verses 26 to 28? I know we know this very well, but in the context of what we're talking about here, it says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." That is the condition for faith to work. And if it worked for Jesus, and that is the way the Son of God had to walk and learn, then how much more for us? And our problem is that we resist the Holy Spirit to let him do that work. And the reason we resist is because we're not allowing our minds to be renewed, to get the deliverance, to deal with our minds when they start to logically try and work and analyze and so on. We have got to come to a place where we can honestly say, when we get up in the morning, "I know nothing this day unless it will be revealed, because I walk by faith and not by sight." That should be a desire, a want within us. It most certainly is with me. And we know there are times we fail it miserably. We've only got to hear something negative from someone, or whatever it would be, and oh, we get upset, we feel rejected, and so on. Instead of just saying whatever it is, "Well, that is their opinion, that is what they've said, but I know my Heavenly Father doesn't say that." Because we're so secure in our relationship with him that we're not affected by what people say, or sadly at times, what can be said from our brothers and sisters. All we should be caring about is what God is saying. That is what we live for, and so on. The Lord will do this, because we know that this can't be done in the natural. That's why it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. We know that he can do this. It's just at times, as he's working this, we have to battle. But we should settle all of these things. We should know that it's settled, it's being worked in me by the Spirit of God. We don't know how, but it is, because God is a miracle working God. But the ultimate aim of all of this, as I bring this to a close, is that our faith will work. that you will see these promises that he has made happening, these miracles happening. And this is what glorifies God, and this is what speaks, and this is what exposes the powers of darkness. And this is why the enemy attacks like he does. He fears the deeper life teaching. And he tries to attack it and oppose in every way he can. But he's lost, because God has decreed this. God has predestined this. God has decreed that his bride will make herself ready for the bridegroom. He has decreed that there will be those first fruits that will come in, and that he will perfect our faith. God has spoken it, and it will be. Let him work that through each of us, and stop hindering the hand of God in what he wants to do. He doesn't get it wrong. He gets it right every time. And the blessing that is going to come from this will, that you won't be able to put it into words. Yes, there will be persecutions. Yes, they will lie. Yes, they will scheme. What is new? There's nothing new under the sun with regard to that. But what is new is that groaning creation is going to soon see the sons of God coming forth in faith to release groaning creation. That is new, and that is a revelation. And that is why Revelation 12, the man-child, is a revelation that God will reveal. But until then, it's not seen yet, but you see it. And blessed are your eyes and your heart for what God has shown. So there we are, brothers and sisters, our self-emptying will mature faith. Let's each of us just get out of the way and let God be God, and let him work through each of us.
Follow the master.